Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Some good news. Joe Biden is going to sign an executive order probably today, opening up the insurance markets and the Affordable Care Act to people who want insurance because of COVID. That was something that every expert recommended. Trump wouldn't do it. Trump wouldn't do it. Right in the middle of a pandemic where he's telling people to inject Lysol into their veins and take hydroxychloroquine and laughing about masks. And he wouldn't do it. But Biden's doing it. And thank goodness. And that gets to the whole issue of the $1.9 trillion in COVID relief, because lifting the bar of people going back into the Affordable Care Act now and into the insurance markets for COVID insurance, that's a big part of it. But the other part of it is getting money, first of all, to the states for vaccine and distribution. How are they supposed to do it if they can't afford it? A lot of these states are near bankruptcy. Number two, more money in unemployment comp to people who have been laid off and can't find a job. Number three, another $1,400 to people making less than $75,000 a year. That's the recommendation of the new bill. In other words, it used to be 90 grand under 75. That's fine. That puts it at 2,000. 600 has already gone out. That is what most experts and economists had proposed. And there is other relief for small businesses. And it's absolutely essential to tide us over into the spring when more inoculations, more vaccinations will have occurred. And we're going to get even closer towards herd immunity. So the question is, how do we get the $1.9 trillion bill passed when, with the filibuster, if they just put it as a regular bill, Moscow Mitch can block it? Under his theory, we'd need 10 Republicans. We don't have 10 Republicans. We flat out don't have them. We don't have Wormwood, crooked Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. We don't have the human lizard, Cruz from Texas. We don't have Hawley and Moscow Mitch. So how are we going to do this? We can get rid of the filibuster. The funny thing is, take 60 votes to beat a filibuster, but you can get rid of it with 51 votes. But there are two moderate to conservative Democrats who won't go along with that. Manchin of West Virginia and Sinema of Arizona. They're in very tough states, and they're not going to go along with it. So what they are going to do is a device called budget reconciliation. That is how Moscow Mitch passed the tax cut. Remember the trillion-dollar tax cut? 87% of it went to the 0.1%. That's how he did it. That is how he did it. He almost knocked off the Affordable Care Act that way. He knew he couldn't get 60 votes, not going to get any Democrats. But John McCain was the only guy who turned on him. Well, we can do the same thing, budget reconciliation, but with the $1.9 trillion. And that is a device where you pretend that basically it has a budgetary impact. So let's go back and let's finagle with the budget. And then, by the way, that never required 60%, 60 votes. So you never would have a budget. And so we do it with 51. And that is what's happening. Lines are open. We're going to go right to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
A couple things, Matt. Quickly, Biden had a pretty good day yesterday, don't you think? I mean, a big day, signed a lot of important things. I get up and watch the national news every morning before I turn you guys on. You know what I'm getting tired of? They're playing right back into the hands of Trump. The first half hour of some of these national shows, everything about Trump. The guy's yesterday's news. You know when I want to hear about him again? In a week and a half when we start impeachment. And the first time somebody like the guy in New York tosses down on him with some charges. Otherwise, he's yesterday's news. Don't want to hear about him.
Right. Here's the thing, Dick. What happened, and many people don't realize, as you may, is that Trump has driven tremendous ratings for political shows. And they had a meeting at CNN and MSNBC separately, of course. MSNBC would be Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes and Lawrence O'Donnell and Joy Reid and the rest of the on-air. And then on CNN, it would be, you know, Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper and all that. And they all got together and said, we're going to lose money without Trump. Are people going to tune in? What are we going to do? And they tried to come up with alternate programming. And this is a gift. You can bet if you or I were running this thing, I would say, I don't even want to mention his name. Deprive him of oxygen. A fire spreads through oxygen. But the major oxygen for the networks is cash. They need cash. So they are going to ramp up everything. And we've got to be very careful about that. Thanks a lot, Dick, for calling in. Dave of Oregon, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, I got a question for you with the upcoming impeachment. I'm assuming all the senators are going to be like the jury, right? So they'll all vote when the end of the day, whether to impeach or not impeach. Is that how that starts out?
Yeah. Well, what happens is people have analogized them to jurors, and that's technically not 100% correct. Yes, they are going to vote on whether to convict because he's already been impeached. In other words, the House impeaches, the Senate convicts, and the Senate requires 67 votes. And in the history of the United States, no president who is impeached has ever been convicted, although Nixon resigned just before he could have been convicted, and that was the deal. But the reason why they're not exactly like jurors is they can call evidence. They can call witnesses. They can demand to see evidence. If you're in a jury, in a courtroom, you can't just say, "Judge, I want to hear a witness on this." He'll say, "That's not, I'll decide what witnesses come in for good reason," and so forth. And then secondly, the jurors also don't get to hear challenges on procedure. So for instance, if a guy gets up and the other lawyer goes, "That's hearsay, move it be stricken. The judge decides, whereas here, if somebody has a procedural motion, like it's unconstitutional, it should be dismissed, like Randy Paul, the senators all decide. So yes, they're jurors, but they're judges, and it's an entirely different deal. It'll start on the 8th. It'll probably go 2 weeks. I hope not three. And there will be video shown, and there may be some witnesses. There'll be argument. It'll all be public. And then they have to vote on the record. And there'll be a motion to dismiss. It will lose. We have at least five, probably six votes with Republicans and all 50 of ours. And then it's going to go, do you convict him? And, you know, all of these Republicans are chicken. The two wolf packs are circling them. The Trump primary wolf pack, they're mostly afraid of. But the general election wolf pack that's not going to put up with QAnon type stuff and insurrection. And they're all going to get up and say, look, he's a terrible guy. He did it. Yeah, it was bad, but he's a private citizen now. So this is pouring gasoline on the fire. Let's move on. And they hope they appease both wolf packs. Well, I don't think they're going to appease either wolf pack, because if they're not subservient to Trump, he will take revenge. And the general electorate isn't going to be satisfied with some mealy-mouthed guy saying, yeah, there's an insurrection, a cop was beaten to death, but we don't think we can do anything about it. Dave, thanks for calling in. Gary of Madison, my friend. What's on your mind today, Gary of Madison?
Good morning. Man, something bothers me. Back in 2009, Ted Kennedy passed away, and I think during that, it was a tight tenet. I think the Dems passed a few bills then, but then after Ted died, then it collapsed. I'm concerned. What happens now with this 50, where we're at now, if one of the Dems die? Are we at a point where if one of the Dems were to, in the Senate, die, what would happen? Would we lose a majority? That's
yeah.
All. Thank you.
Well, here's what would happen. And take Leahy of Vermont. Leahy of Vermont, I believe Vermont has a Republican governor, believe it or not, even though they have Bernie Sanders and Pat Leahy as senators. Now, if God forbid Pat Leahy died, the Republican governor of Vermont would appoint a senator until there was an election. Now, he has said when Bernie Sanders was under consideration for Secretary of Labor, he swore that he would put in an independent who would caucus with the Democrats. And if he was telling the truth, then okay. But if he puts in a Republican, there would then be 51 Republicans. Moscow Mitch would be the majority leader again, which would be very, very unfair. But any state with a Republic, with a Democratic senator and a Republican governor could switch it back. Now, as a practical matter, actuarially, I don't see any of that happening. The two people who are the oldest, Grassley of Iowa is 89, Shelby of Alabama, I think he's 88. And neither, they both have Republican governors. So the fact is that nothing would change. But yeah, theoretically, if somebody died, it depends what party the governor is. Massachusetts has a Republican governor, believe it or not. Believe it or not, with Elizabeth Warren as senator, if, God forbid, something happened to a Democratic senator from Massachusetts, a Republican governor would put in their replacement. And if he put in a now, if he has a brain in his head, he's not going to substitute in a hardcore Republican and see Moscow Mitch take it. But he might. He could. Who knows what he's going to do? So this is very precarious. The point is, we need more Democrats in the Senate, period, end of story. And that's why Ron Johnson has to be beaten this time around. We have got to take Ohio. Portman's out. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, a terrible congressman, Republican, right-wing nut, got the Medal of Freedom from Trump, is going to run to succeed Portman. I don't want him in the Senate. And we have a couple of other possibilities around the country, but Ron Johnson is clearly the key. We also have to hold Raphael Warnock. He's up again. He had only a two-year term. And they are already passing laws down in Georgia to ban absentee voting and drop boxes. And they're going to have long lines again. This is going to be a tough race, not because Raphael Warnock isn't great, but because they are up to some tricks. They're up to some tricks. And Mark Kelly in Arizona, that's really a Republican state. I mean, the governor is Republican, historically Republican. We got to hold him too. So stay tuned. But to answer your question, yeah, at 50-50, if somebody dies, it depends on what party the governor belongs to. And we do have cases, Vermont and Massachusetts being two, where if a Democratic senator were to die, there'd be a Republican replacement. Moscow Mitch would be the majority leader for a while, till there was another election, and then the Democrat got back in. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.